The following is a North Carolina Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org.
So I want to frame this time. I think it's easy to get into the mindset of, all right, I have to do these things now because I'm a believer. But I think we've something that we so easily forget in the Great Commission, it's an imperative, right? Yeah, go do this thing. But we forget the indication that's there. The indicative is we make disciples because God is worthy of his glory to be multiplied across the earth. We make disciples not because he told us to. I mean, that is, we want to obey him. But from the very beginning, the reason why we exist is to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with his glory. He is due that. Right? So I don't want us to think, and I have a habit of doing this, that sharing the gospel can become very religious. It can become something that, oh, I didn't do this, so now God's displeased with me. No. And honestly, we're not going to share if we feel like God is an overlord over us, right? But when we share out of our true love for him because he's worthy of that, man, it changes the whole ballgame. So just framing our time together that, man, we're doing this. This is bringing glory to him, that we're learning together how to engage lostness. First thing, if you haven't gotten a sheet of paper, I've got some printer paper for everybody up here. We're going to do some drawing. So grab that. There's some pens up here as well. First tool I'm going to train you in, this is, I think, by far, I've been using this one a lot, is how to share your story, right? Names for this tool, one's called 15-second story, the other one's called 6 words. I kind of lean more towards that one, but it's the same tool regardless. So what I want you to do on your sheet of paper, we're going to break this into sections. So go ahead and draw a cross, right, kind of in the middle of your paper, and save yourself some room because we're going to do another tool as well. But this one is called, we'll call this 6 words, how to share your story. Okay? So we'll draw a cross. Now I want you to draw an arrow going backwards and an arrow going frontwards. All right? So it kind of looks like this. And then we're going to have an intro. It'll be an introduction. And then we're going to pose a question at the end. So 5 sections, introduction, a back arrow, a cross, a front arrow, and then a question. So again, this is called 6 words. Let me model it for you. Here's what it's going to look like. All right. So it was a time in my life when I was very depressed and anorexic and suicidal. The man, I met Jesus, and he showed me a whole different way. I received his forgiveness. I made him Lord of my life, and in doing that, I experienced joy and a new purpose for my life. Do you have a story like that? So that was about 18 seconds, I don't know, give or take. But the gist of what I want you to get there, there's an introduction. There's two things that characterized our life before Christ. What happened when we met Christ? Two things that characterize our life now, having received Christ. And then asking a question. So we'll start with this. What was the introduction I said there? Does anybody remember that? It was a time in my life. So we're going to start there. And we're going to take this section by section. So what I want you to do is just write out this line. There was a time in my life when... So that's the introduction. I want you to practice that 2 times with your training buddy. Just saying there was a time in my life when. Ready, go. All right, that's all you need to know. So you're good to go. Y'all have a good day. So yeah, that's the introduction. Now we want to kind of give some bones to this. All right, so what I want you to do is we're going to do 6 lines. 1, 2, 3, 4. So 2 under the... arrow going backwards, 2 lines under the cross, and then two lines under this arrow going forward. So we're going to fill these lines with some words. That's where the six words kind of comes into. Do y'all remember? I cheated. I did three, but what are two words that? And this did happen to me. This was my life before Christ. What were two things that characterized my life before Christ? Anybody remember?
Depressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So depression was definitely one. I wrestled with anorexia. That was another one. So that's my story, right? Don't put that if that's not your story. We don't want to be telling people some other kid's story, right? This is your story, right? So think of two things really that characterized your life before Christ. And now I know what you're going to say, but Caleb, I got saved when I was six. I don't remember what characterized my life before Christ. What does Scripture say your life was before Christ?
Sinful.
Yeah, full of sin, rebellion. I was dead in sin. I mean, use Scripture to define what your life was before Christ. Ephesians 2 said we were dead in sin. We weren't asking for help. God, help me, save me. No, dead people can't say anything, right? We were dead in sin. Romans 1, it says that we had suppressed the knowledge, suppressed the truth with our wickedness. We were against Him. We rebelled against God. There are some things you can say that characterize your life before Christ. Yes, ma'am.
Terrible. Yeah,
the focus is not so much on how bad it was. It's more of what do you want to communicate to somebody that shows your life before Christ? Why are you in need of the gospel? That's where we're going with that. Okay. So for me, again, it was depression. Another one I like to use is I just was seeking approval of others. I think we can all say that we do that one. So I'll give you a freebie there. So depression, approval. What did Christ rescue us from? That's one thing you can say. So all right, here's where we are now. Intro to your life before Christ. Practice that two times, saying there was a time in my life when blank one, blank two. Practice that with your training buddy. Two times. Go. All right, I'm gonna call us back in. I'm hearing a little bit of murmurs. I want us to wrestle with the uncomfortableness of this. I want us to struggle with this because if we can't communicate our story, if we can't communicate the gospel through our story, y'all, this is, if you're trying to figure out how to reach millennials, let me speak to you as a millennial. I am desperate. We are desperate to hear the realness in your story.
That's right.
We are desperate to hear the authenticity of why does this matter to you? Why does the gospel matter to you? What's important? What has changed your life and has wrecked your life in a beautiful way about it? So I want us to wrestle with how kind of seemingly uncomfortable this may be. I'll just give you a quick story. I was actually practicing this, and I realized, man, I'd been lying a little bit about my story. I actually don't think I came to faith when I thought I did. And I had to wrestle with that because I was on staff at a church, and I was unsaved. Yeah, that's uncomfortable to be like, guys, listen, I don't think I was saved when I told you that I was. I think seeing my life with Scripture, it was nowhere indicated that I was a follower of Christ. So this actually helped expose some things in me. I'm not suggesting it's going to do that for you, but I want us to wrestle with, man, what did my life really demonstrate before Christ? And what has Christ done in me and is doing in me? We need to hear that from you because that's how the gospel is made real in your life and seen from others. Does that make sense? So, okay, two things now that when you met Christ, here's a couple things that I said. I would encourage you to use these. I decided to make him Lord or the boss of my life. I received his forgiveness. That's what happens, right? So forgiveness, and then I made him Lord, or whatever you want to use there, made him boss or whatever. Because that's what happens. It takes believing, and then it also takes following and submitting and surrendering. So I said depression and approval of others, but when I met Christ, I received forgiveness from everything I'd ever done. So that's the first one. Forgiveness. And I decided to follow him and make him the boss of my life and go his way. So forgiveness and follow. Okay? So yeah, if you want some freebies, you can take that one. Forgive and follow. So practice from here where we are now. Practice your intro. Two things that show your life before meeting Jesus. And then what happened when you met him. Okay, practice that 2 times. All right, we're good? I'm going to press on just for the sake of time. So we've got an introduction. We've got 2 things that showed our life before Christ. 2 things that really indicated our life when, or 2 things that happened when we met Christ. And here's 2 things. Y'all remember those 2 things that I gave you that showed my life and is showing my life after meeting Christ? Y'all remember those words I used? That's one. Peace. Yeah, I'll give you that. Purpose, peace. Yeah, that's close. Start with a P. So I said joy and purpose, right? So it actually is kind of the opposite of the 2 things that I said that were before Christ, right? So depression, joy. Anorexia or approval or whatever has turned into, there's a new purpose for my life. I've been repurposed in a sense. All right. Last time of doing just two reps, and then we'll do the whole thing, and we'll do 3 reps of that. But practice the intro, 2 things that showed your life before, 2 things that happened when you met him, and then 2 things that are characterizing your life now, having met Christ and what he's doing in you. So go ahead and practice that 2 times with your training buddy. All right, friends, how did I land this plane? Do y'all remember that question I posed at the end? Yeah, that's good. So have you gone through anything like that in your life, or do you have a story like that? Any of those will suffice. So do you, or has anything like this happened to you before? I think that's more in line with the brother over there, Sub. This is huge, because I think we tend at times to just tell people things about us without asking some questions to them, to have them then respond, or even like, hey, what's your story, something like that. But we need to be asking good questions to people, and people love to talk about themselves, right? We just need to get good at talking about ourselves. That's the one thing. If you didn't hear anything else, Caleb told me to get good about talking about myself. So
nobody can refute your story.
That's right. Yeah. Especially here's a little golden nugget for you. Everybody, like, especially my age, nobody's going to say to you, don't tell me your story, because it's your story, right? I mean, that's just who you are. Like, you can then go back out and be like, well, you're not being as welcoming and accommodating to me, because you're not letting me share about my life. So just throw it right back at him. It's good for us to practice how to talk about ourselves, right? So I want you to do, I want us to stand up. Okay. Let's get some blood flowing. I want you to, 3 people that you haven't, that's not your training buddy, I want you to practice your story, your 6-word story with them, okay? And then we'll bring it back. Ready, go. Everybody have a seat. How'd that go? Is that okay? Is that a little fun?
Yeah, that was very good.
Yeah. We're not done. We still got a whole nother tool, but yeah, I'm not through with y'all yet. Yeah, y'all thought you got off easy. Come on now. All right, Larry, I want you to share with me and us your six words story. What you just told me.
Okay, I grew up in church all my life. Went to church, but my life never really changed. And then one day, my wife and I went on the mission field with the International Mission Board. And we were in Zimbabwe, Africa, and sitting at a missions conference, and I realized for the first time that I was lost.
Wow.
And that I needed a Savior. And I asked God to become Lord of my life. And from that point on, my wife got a new husband, and my children got a new father, and my life drastically changed.
Yeah,
and I'm no longer been the same.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So keep working with this. I've taken this, and at times it's not as formulaic as I lay it out for you. I think it's good to. Just to have a format and to practice. You don't go to the gym one time, right, and get strong. You got to keep going. I'm literally learning that right now. I have a friend that is wearing me out in the gym, and it's taking time, but it takes repetitions of that same movement. He's telling me all the time, Caleb, you're really bad at squats. Like, you got to get better, but it takes repetitions of that same movement to master it, right? Why would we treat our story any differently, right? Taking reps of sharing our story, man. When we practice, I believe this. When we practice and be good stewards of practicing, that's, man, I really believe with the Holy Spirit, like, just what could happen with that, you know? Like, you. I want you, when you're having and when you're at the coffee shop and you're just whatever you're doing there, to think like, man, somebody's just starting to talk to me, or I'm with somebody and I can do this. I can. I'm literally hearing them saying something that connected with me and my story, and I know how to say it right there into a gospel conversation. Here's a really practical way that you can do it. I like to use this line to get into my story. Let's say you are sitting down with somebody. Maybe you've known them for a while. Maybe you just met them or whatever it is. And we're just listening, you know. We're just asking questions like, hey, tell me about yourself, or what's going on with you, or what's your philosophy on life, or whatever that is. What are we listening for? Anybody know? Yeah.
Common ground or something.
Brokenness. We're listening for brokenness in people's lives. That common ground. I don't know who said that. That's a really easy way to be like, oh man, like, I just need to pray for them, right? Hey, can I pray for you? I don't mean to be weird about this, but prayer really worked in my life. I'm glad people were praying for me. There was a time in my life when, anybody catch that? Yeah, just slid right into that, you know? It wasn't like, they're doing that 15-second story with me again. No, it was just, man, I hear you. I'm so sorry. Like, I want to pray for you. I'm so glad people were praying for me, because there was definitely a time in my life when. So that's one way to do that. I've seen that to be helpful. So,
can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Since you're a millennial, one of the things we've kind of done some Christianese talking here.
Mm-hmm.
How does that resonate with millennials? Now, when you're talking about a lost 20-something, you know, early 30s,
yep.
How does Christianese, that's one of the biggest struggles we have as old mm-hmm. Christians,
yeah.
when it comes to telling our story.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it can definitely be seen as kind of a charade a little bit, facade a little bit. Like, it's hard to get into the mind of someone that is far from God. I just kind of think back to when I was far from God. Like, I really disliked the church And I was at church a lot, but I disliked it because, and this is my own immaturity, and I was far from God, but I didn't know really any better. I was lost. I didn't lost people don't make good decisions and good choices, right? But what got me, man, was seeing people be honest about their story, you know, kind of stepping away from I was lost. Whatever words we use to be kind of Christianese, and just being real with people. Is that helpful?
I think what I'm hearing you say is that you truly appreciate the honesty, even if
it's
right. That in Christianese.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, again, like if people, especially in Charlotte, like there are people that are very unchurched. So I think we get scared sometimes to be like, well, if I approach them and I go to church, they're not ever going to listen to me. I don't think that's true anymore. I think people just want to connect with your stories. That's what Jesus did. He identified with us in our suffering, right? So that's how we identify with others, is not in, hey, come listen to me condemn you. It's, man, I'm just a blind beggar like you. I just happen to found the one who has given me sight, and I can show you who did that for me.
And I think you can change that to the audience, too.
Yeah.
You're welcome to change any part of it.
That's right.
The audience to reach out.
Yeah. Think of this as more of a framework rather than do this to get to this. This is, if you got to start with where you are now and work backwards, I mean, man, do that, too. This is just a way that we can reproduce this and train others and to help them start to craft their story. So these are such good questions. I need to move on just for the sake of time, because I want to be a good steward of that. We've got about 25 more minutes. So one more tool. Oh, where my eraser went? Oh, here it is. So if that tool or if your story can get you into a gospel conversation, if that can help you transition into one, what do you do when you're there? Right? Like what is a way to communicate in a simple way the gospel, but in a biblical way? We never want to water down scripture, but something that's simple, something that's biblical, but also something that's simple enough that it could be reproduced as well. Something that you can teach somebody that they could easily do. Something that I wish that I had a 5-year-old in here doing this instead of me, because they do it better than I do. So this is not the way to share the gospel. I've just found this one to be helpful. And it's also helped me dive deeper into the gospel as well. It's called Three Circles. So this is one that's been pretty much adopted by the state convention, NAM, whatever. What's funny is this tool actually was developed by a guy who was, he's a pastor in West Palm Beach, and it was meant for marriage counseling. And then he's like, wait a minute, this is the gospel. So it actually was to help people through marriage struggle. But, man, he's like, no, this is a gospel. So here's how it goes. I'm going to draw it, and then I'm going to do it again. And then I'm going to have you get 2 reps with your training buddy of this. All right? So just breathe. Watch me do this one for the first time. And then I'm going to do it again. And you can draw along with me. And then you can practice with your training buddy. Cool? All right. So yeah, this is called Three Circles, how to share God's story. So it's basically how it goes. This cracked eggshell looking circle, it shows the broken world that we live in today. It's characterized by a lot of things. I mean, there's natural disasters, but also we see people are broken. And if we're honest, we can look in a mirror and see our own brokenness, right? But God made a world that didn't have any of that. It was a world that was perfect because He is perfect. Everything about Him is perfect. And He had a design for us that was perfect. But here's how this happened, how this broken world happened, is we told God, we don't trust you. We want to go our own way. Yeah, good song. So that guy's running away, right? You can just write the word sin there if you want. I just like to draw a little stick figure. But that guy is running away from God's design. And what we call that is sin. Sin is anything that takes us away from God's design. And so we like to blame God. Well, why is this world so bad? Why are you allowing this world to happen? But y'all, we did this. This was our fault. And here's the reality is nobody wants to be in brokenness. Even people that are far from God, nobody wants to be in brokenness. So we try all sorts of ways to get out of brokenness. It's what these squiggly lines represent. For me in my life, and I want to encourage you to list your life here. I try to get out of brokenness through seeking approval of others. I try to get out of brokenness by just going to church. I try to get out of brokenness by fixing my physical image through like anorexia. And that none of that could fill a God-sized hole in my heart, right? But God made a way for me to get out of this brokenness. And that's the story of Jesus. You see, Jesus actually came into our brokenness, but He lived a life that you and I never could live. He was perfect. And He did that here. And what happened is when He lived that life that pleased God, that was in God's design, He decided to die on a cross for us. And what happened there is when He did that, He took all of your sin, all of my sin, He put it on Himself, and then He gave us this gift. He gave us this right standing before God. By coming back to life and claiming victory over sin and claiming victory over death. He claimed right there that I am God. And if anybody, He said, if anybody would follow after me, so I'm going to draw a guy praying. So if anybody would come after me, would turn from brokenness, turn from sin, and follow, so turn and follow, and make him the boss of your life, you will be restored and you can recover. You'll be made new. So restored back into God's original design. And I'm here. I'm right here. I'm on my way. I am every day being made more and more into the image of Christ. But there are people that are still stuck here in this world trying to get out of brokenness. Where would you see yourself? So that's a question I like to ask them at the end of that. Okay? Is that cool? Is that pretty simple looking? I'm going to do it again. Don't worry. I'm going to have you draw it with me this time. And then what I want you to do is I want you to struggle through this with your training buddy. I'm going to put these modules again back on the board. You can research them as well to look at them again. But cool. So I think that we can all agree that this world is pretty messed up. It's broken, right? It's what this cracked egg show looks like. We can see it in all sorts of ways. The world itself is falling apart with hurricanes and natural disasters, but people are falling apart too. We can look in a mirror and say, or find our own brokenness. But that was never God's design for this place. In fact, He made a world that was perfect because He is perfect. His design for our lives were perfect. But what happened is that was not enough for us. In fact, we didn't trust Him, and we went our own way. And we ended up breaking the world. And that's what the Bible calls sin. It's going against God's design, choosing our own way. And when we did that, we plunged this world. God didn't do this. We did this. We plunged this world into darkness. It's fallen. But none of us want to really be in brokenness. So we try all sorts of ways to get out of it. You know, for me, I used religion and church. I used just trying to please people. I even thought about leaving this place and just ending it all. I even tried to be a good person. But just all these things that were just holes that I couldn't fill. Only really God could do that. And he did. He made a way for me out of brokenness, and that's the story of Jesus. You see, Jesus came into this world. That's what that arrow is. He came into this broken world, and he lived a life that you and I could never live. He was perfect before God. He did nothing wrong. He earned right standing before God for his perfect life. And then he traded places with us. He took a cross. He died on a cross. He took all of your sin, everything you'd ever done, he put it on himself, and he freely gave to us the right standing before God that we could never earn. And he sealed it by coming back to life. And in doing that, he not only beat sin, but he beat death. And we don't even have to fear death anymore. And Jesus said if anybody would turn from sin, turn from brokenness, realize that this stuff ain't working, and pursue after me and follow me. He promises to restore us back to God and back to his design for our lives. But we got to make him the boss. Ooh, that's awful. Excuse me. I don't know what that was. We got to make him the boss. We got to put him on the throne. And I'm right here. I'm on my way. I have made him Lord. I've made him the king of my life. And I am being restored back into God's design. But there are people that have not done that. They've not made him boss. And they're still in brokenness. Where would you see yourself? So, cool. Let's practice that. We got 15 minutes. So I'm going to let you practice for 10 of those. I'm going to give you some final things, and then I'll be done with you, promise. So try and get a couple reps with your training buddy in 10 minutes. All right, friends, I'm going to call us in. I'm sorry if y'all didn't get, just because of time constraints, I'm sorry if y'all didn't get through both of those. Did we at least get one? Go through at least once? Cool. The names of the two tools that I gave you today are right here, called six words and three circles. They're both of those videos are on the Baptist State Convention website, Disciple NC specifically there. I wanted to call your attention to two things. One, what we just did is kind of a scaled back version of what the state convention is rolling out across all of North Carolina called Gospel Conversations Trainings. So has anybody done one of those or been a part of one of those in their local church? Okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah, great. So we've gotten a few of those. Whether you've done it once or twice or you have never even seen this at all or had a team come and train, I would highly encourage you to consider it. If you're a local pastor here, just wanting to push your people towards evangelism, or maybe you are just a lay leader or elder in here, and you want to see, man, your church take up the gauntlet and engage your communities with the gospel, I would highly encourage you to let's have a conversation about gospel conversations. Thank y'all for being here. I love doing this stuff. Before you leave, who's your one that you're going to share with these with? So I would even tell your training buddy before you go, and even pray for one another. Who is your one that God is showing you right now? Man, I need to tell them my story, or I need to show them God's story. So that's my final words for you. So thank y'all so much. Let me pray for you. King Jesus, we love you. Help us be faithful to finish the task of the Great Commission. There will be an end to the Great Commission, but worship will last forever. Help us frame, help me frame a mission, not around something that I do, but it's because of who you are. This is why I do this. But if I don't love you, if I don't worship you, then all of this is in vain. But God, knowing that the Great Commission has an end date, we see it in Revelation 7:9. But forever, we will be around your throne worshiping you. So mission comes from a healthy worship of you. So Father, I just pray for these friends, for these tools that we showed. Help us be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.